The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's been a while since Caroline Casey has joined us on the programme, but we've asked her to join us today because she's going to Davos to the World Economic Forum next week, where she is a One Young World counsellor and where she is going to be promoting her disability inclusion campaign, hashtag valuable. Caroline, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, it's so great to be here. But I have to say, I think I'm a middle-aged global leader. I'm not sure it's so young anymore. And as well as being a cultural leader this year, along with Sinead Burke and Bono. So that's pretty cool. I'm in good company. Delighted.
Okay. Why are you going to Davos? What are you going to be doing
so,
there?
So listen, I've gone to Davos several years, and 2010 was the last year I was in Davos. And I swore I would not go back until I saw disability on the main stage, not a side session, in the hands of some of the most influential business CEOs in the world. Because when we launched hashtag valuable in 2017, it was to get business to recognise the value of the 1.3 billion people in the world with a disability and to position it equally on the global business leadership agenda. And we wanted to do that through the greatest brands and leaders and platforms. And what is one of the greatest leadership platforms in the world? It's Davos. And that's where you can have a conversation with leaders.
Has business failed to embrace the inclusivity of people with disabilities? And the way sport in recent years, we've seen the tremendous advances in the Paralympics, for example.
Yeah.
Has business failed to match what's been done in other parts of life?
Well, I see. You asked a really good question. Why are we doing it? Look, we have to look at the scale of the issue. We have 1.3 billion people in the world who have a disability with a mum and a dad, with family. That affects 53% of our population. 80% acquired between the ages of 18 and 64, working life. And 80% of that's invisible. But the really crazy figure of all is only 90% of companies prioritise disability. It's actually left on the margins of society. You're most likely, 50% more likely to experience poverty or not get a job if you have a disability. And because business is the most powerful force on this planet, it is kind of leaving disability off the diversity and inclusion agenda because it doesn't see this huge market and strategic offering. So what we're here to do is say, listen, lads, come on. It's time now to stop a la carte inclusion and see the disability market.
Yeah, because it strikes me that sometimes, you know, businesses are good at sort of making seem that there's opportunities to sell to people.
Yeah.
Not as good, though, as actually involving those people in their own businesses.
Well, you see, it's more even than that. When we talk about disability, we mean across a full supply chain. This is not just about customer service, because only 40% of companies even consider to serve people with disabilities. But the employment rate is appallingly low. But if you don't get the value, if you don't understand that the market is worth $1 trillion, if you don't understand this is a brand opportunity, like anything else is a brand opportunity to attract and retain next generation talent, why would you invest in it? Because if you're a company and you're looking at an inclusion and diversity agenda, at the moment we are competing gender against LGBTQ, against disability. So our question really is, we have to end in 2019 a la carte inclusion and look at the genuine opportunity of business to join that inclusion agenda and to make a huge win on it. Who's going to be the early adopters?
So who are you getting involved with you to do this?
Well, so I referred to, you know, we decided we were going to get the greatest brands and leaders and platforms. So we have Davos and we've main stage, and that's phenomenal. And that's on Thursday the 24th. We have two strategic partners in Virgin Media, which is incredible, but Omnicom as well, which is amazing. And that's right from the leadership of the organisation.
These are global.
These are the global.
Yeah, because people would think of Virgin Media, the television station here in Ireland.
But that's part of it.
But it's part of a much bigger thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And Omnicom is one of the biggest.
Omnicom is the biggest media conglomerate in the world. And it owns agencies right across the creative media, communications, PR, marketing perspective. So they're going to amplify our message. They're going to make this famous because we're going to be launching a thing called the Valuable 500 at Davos. But the other thing that we've got, which is better than anybody, we've got Paul Pullman, the CEO of Unilever. We've Janet Riccio, the vice president of Omnicom. We've Richard Branson. We also have Mark Weinberger, the global head of EY. Now, when those kind of business leaders say, hey, I'm going to stand for it, others will follow. Look what happened with Sheryl Sandberg.
OK, but what are they going to do in practical terms?
It's a great question. So what they're doing is, first of all, they have helped us make sure that we get that main stage in Davos. And we have five extraordinary business names saying we as leaders need to position this and do something about it. We will be launching at a press conference before that, the Valuable 500. That is asking 500 companies around the world to put disability on their board agenda, signed off by the CEO, make a committed action and share it externally, internally and educate their workforce.
Are you looking for companies to have quotas?
No, hold on. What I'm really starting, this, what differentiates hashtag valuable and the Valuable 500 is I want leadership accountability. Because you know what? The most powerful force on the planet, which is business, is managed and influenced by their leaders. And actually, I also think the CMOs is another brilliant one, which is the chief marketing officers. But if we want to see change happen, we need leadership accountability. So right now, what we're saying is put it on your board agenda if you're beginning, if you want to scale, or if you're a leader. Like companies like Microsoft are leaders. Companies like Barclays are leaders. There are other companies in this country. Aura is a leader. But there are many companies who are just, oh, I don't know how to begin. Well, start the discussion, but do it at board level and be leadership accountable.
Okay. Tell us, for the people who are not familiar with you, tell us a little bit about your own disability, as people would describe it, and how it has impacted on your life.
Well, it is a disability. I am registered legally blind, which I have ocular albinism. It means I can't see you. And I'm often well known to quote the fact that you look like George Clooney, which you absolutely do when you're bouncing ball here. What's very interesting about my own story is my parents knew about my disability when I was born, but they chose to bring me up as a sighted child because they just didn't want me to be defined by a medical condition. Or a label. And actually, none of us should be defined by a medical condition or a label or any one label.
But hang on, how did that work? I mean, were you able to read and write?
It's actually not as astounding as you think. I mean, a lot of young kids go through school with dyslexia. There are a lot of people who manage. If you ever see me read, my nose is literally to the page. With technology now, it's easier. But I could get by. And at 17, when I went to get my driving license because I wanted a motorbike, I found out and I would never be driving a motorbike, let alone a car. And it was at that age then I said, well, I don't see myself as having a disability, and I didn't want it. And I hid it for 11 years and successfully.
And you worked in Accenture at that time.
I was a management consultant. I got through business school. And it was when I was 28 years old. Eventually, trying to hide part of yourself to fit in. It's just ridiculous. And I discriminated against disability, but not only my own. So I came out of the closet at 28, and that's how I began this work about really, I guess what I've always been obsessed with.
Had your eyesight deteriorated a little bit more?
It had temporarily, because I put it under so much pressure. I was reckless with my own health, and I'm slightly crazy anyway, but that was just ridiculous. And that's when I really started this journey. I was fascinated by why I couldn't own part of myself, but then I had seen that the world. I mean, the people with disabilities are the most marginalised group in the world. They are the most discriminated group in the world.
But sorry, can I just clarify, what can you see? I mean, can you see shapes or can you see light or what can you see?
Oh, it's always fascinating. People are fascinated to know about it. I don't look like I have a sight issue. I mean, you would never think that, right?
I mean,
my cane is in my bag, which I use a lot more now, I will say. So if you were to hold your hand 2 feet away from your face, that's about as far as I see. Or if you were to put glasses on and put Vaseline over those glasses, that's my sight. By the way, most of us start getting bad eyesight over the age of 40, but mine is a lot more severe. And I guess the way I learned how to cope is mum and dad would have given us coping skills. You know, I learned how to be the one. I'm a big hugger. Everybody knows I hug. And the reason I hug you is because I want to have a quick check of your face. I want to have a sense of you. I always hold up my hand. Now I'm noticing I'm finding it harder. And that's because I've got older and my sight is slightly diminished. But I'm much better at asking for help. Much better. But, you know, it's a constant journey.
So that's an interesting point. Did you find it difficult at times? Did your pride prevent you to asking for help?
You know, I love when people ask me this question. I think the reason that I can connect with business around this is because I understand how hard it was for me, because I saw for a long time my sight as being a disadvantage or as being an obstacle for me to have the life that I wanted. Or if I told you, you wouldn't want to employ me or you wouldn't want to hang out with me. And that's simply not true, because now as I keep going through the process every day, I learn how to accept myself, not just about my sight, but just who I am. The journey of self-acceptance takes a while. I wish I could see fully, but I have a phenomenal life. And I have to be honest, now as I own myself fully, my potential has been reached. I would never have done this work if I'd been still in the closet.
Do you see yourself actually being in business rather than being an activist for those who have disabilities?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because I'm so against labels. You know, what am I? They call me lots of things. I'm a businesswoman. I'm a social entrepreneur. I'm an activist. I'm a campaigner. I I tell you what I am. I'm Caroline Casey. I genuinely want to do a tiny piece that I can to make the world better for every human being to belong. I believe business is a very important part of that because it touches every point of our life. I believe human story is important. I believe business needs to be more human. But I think I don't see myself as a disability activist. I see myself as a human campaigner. And my heart is probably the biggest thing I have. And I'm also desperately stubborn as well.
I know there'll be some people who'll be going, oh, this is the global elite who are at Davos. This is sort of the establishment. Yeah. But I suppose if you don't convince people at that level to get involved, you know, how else are you going to get people with disabilities greater access and greater inclusion?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It is the global elite. And I've got to tell you, I've gone for years and I swore I'd never go back until I could see my tribe of a billion people represented on that stage because I hadn't seen them there. But let's be honest, you're the elite in media. I'm here because you've got a voice. You can amplify it. You're giving us a platform. Whether you like it or not, there's power structures in the world. And I'd rather be part of that conversation with them instead of standing on the outside and shouting out what they're not doing. And you also have to remember, we have seven business leaders speaking out and each of them have a personal story and a connection to disability. We released a piece of research with EY about the C-suite experience of disability and you would be very surprised.
Just explain for people who are not familiar with the expression
the top
C-suite.
Level, so CEOs,
chief
board
executives,
levels,
chief marketing, chief financial officers.
You know, everybody thinks that disability is something that might not touch a leader's life. It does. But what scares me is one in five of those leaders in this research that EY did don't come out of the closet about their disabilities. So
what
why?
Sort like of disabilities? Me? And you say one in
physical,
seven people.
Physical, sensory, mental health, cognitive, learning. This is the UN convention definition. So it's the full spectrum of disability. It's everything that we can imagine. And what I'm trying to say is disability is going to touch every single human being's life at some point.
Caroline, just to finish, are you still an adventurer? The first time I remember interviewing you, you just come back from riding elephants around the Indian subcontinent. I think you've gone, what is it, on horse riding journeys through South America as well. Are you still an adventurer like that?
I think this, when you ask me who I was, I guess I have the spirit or the heart. I have a rebel heart in me and I have the spirit of an adventurer. This all began, this journey around global business inclusion for disability on an elephant when I came out of the closet with Accenture. And after my father very unexpectedly passed away in 2016, I'd always wanted to do this global campaign. And you know what? We couldn't get traction. And that's why I said, well, you know what? It worked with an elephant. I always wanted to be a cowgirl. So I rode across Colombia. And that's when I found Paul Pullman at One Young World. It was One Young World that actually helped us get this to Davos. And you know what? Sometimes the adventure, there's an adventure in trying to change the world. And this has been mine so far.
Best luck. Hope it goes very well for you next week in Davos and that you convince all the people now that you have the stage to talk to them. Caroline Casey, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.